Hello, creepies, and welcome to another middle-aged mini-episode on the Middle-Aged and Creeped Out podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hey, creepies, welcome to Middle-Aged Mini 168. Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. How's it going, man?
Oh, she going.
She going?
Mm-hmm.
Who's she? I want to know all about this.
I don't know. It's a general term.
That's what I figured. You being
shim.
Facetious. I have no idea where to go from that one, but we're on the mini for tonight, so this will be our... This will be a fun one for Saturday, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A good one.
A week away from our live show.
Mm-hmm.
Oh-hoo. Come out and see us, right?
Yep.
On the 21st.
We'll be there.
That's right.
Let's jump into this.
Well, I do want to jump into it, but I want to mention something.
Oh, okay.
Somebody passed.
Oh, yeah.
I meant to mention it in our full, which won't drop until the next Wednesday. But James Earl Jones, the great,
the legend.
The great, but now the late, James Earl Jones, the voice, right? One of them. They said there's not very many people throughout history that have just that recognizable voice. Mm-hmm. As soon as you hear them, you know, like, oh, that's such and such. Morgan Freeman's another one, right?
Yeah.
You know, there's just certain people, right? But he is going to be very missed. He was in his 90s, and they
93,
say 93.
Yep.
He grew up with a stutter, and so he had to battle that. And but it's so crazy that he had, you know, a affliction basically that he had to overcome, and then he became like
the voice.
Oh, yeah, right. So, and then Disney has made an agreement, or they did, I think, during COVID or a couple of years ago. To use his voice, you know, basically for Darth Vader indefinitely, forever and ever through AI. So that should be interesting. He'll be with us forever, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, I think they're going to do that with a lot of people, let me tell you, not just James Earl Jones. But anyway, God bless his soul, and he'll be greatly missed. But I'm telling you, people, they're dropping like flies, right? The you know, people that we grew up with.
Unfortunately.
Someday it'll be your turn. Not me. let's be honest. Our turn, right? Okay, now we jump in with both feet, right?
Yeah. What's our topic?
Our topic is, this is actually Todd's choice, so we're going to take full advantage of having fun with this. It is the Geyser Grand Hotel. And if you're interested, please go check out our show notes for the source links we use for this topic.
Yes.
Right? We may or may not have forgotten that on the full, right?
I think we forgot. I thought about it, but then
that is all right. Yeah, I know. Spaced it. Yeah, it's all right. No big deal. I'm the one that botched that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I have a foundation. Unless you have a better one, who knows?
No, haven't.
You want to do dueling foundations?
Talk at the same time.
The Geyser. I don't know if I'm saying that right. I think I am. The Geyser.
That's Grand Geyser.
Geyser.
Yeah.
It's Geyser, right? Am I saying it wrong? I'm saying it wrong. The Geyser Grand Hotel is a historic hotel in Baker City, Oregon, that opened in 1889. It received a restoration and reopened in 1993 after closing in 1968. Decorations include mahogany columns up to a high ceiling, Victorian-style chandeliers, and a stained glass ceiling. It was known as the Queen of the Mines during Gold Rush times and described as being the finest hotel between Portland, Oregon and Salt Lake City, with the third elevator built west of the Mississippi River. Now that is quite a feat.
Hmm.
Right? It is beautiful.
It's a building that doesn't have feet.
Is it grand? No, you think so? It's quite a feat. That kind of feat. It is, should I say grand?
Yes, it's very grand for
very grand.
A grand.
So I'm showing you the picture.
Hotel.
Mm-hmm. For Oregon standards.
yeah, this place, let's see. How do you feel sharing a room with a ghost of a murder victim and his lover?
Sure, why not?
Or a victim of a horrible accident and even a few spectral party animals.
Hmm.
This place has it all.
Does it? Does it really?
Oh, yeah. So, let's see here. Manifestations at the Geyser Grand Hotel. Or is it Geyser?
See, I don't know. I listen to videos.
It might be Geyser.
Geyser. All right, pick your favorite. So, that's what, yeah.
Buildings that were used as hospitals often carry ghostly energy in the form of the spirits of the people who died in them. Restoration of the properties can also act as a trigger for the entities of the building, as changes to their environment are believed to shake up the atmosphere. Apparitions start to be reported during the renovation, most of which were overjoyed that the hotel was being brought back to life.
Oh, I bet they were.
Other entities of the hotel are believed to be those of few people who died in accidents of tragedies at the hotel, like the chef who lost his head when a dumbwaiter came down upon him and crushed him without warning.
Is there such a thing as a smart waiter?
Yep.
Is there?
Should have had a smart waiter.
Sure did, right?
That dumbwaiter took him out.
There's your first problem, right?
So, hauntings at the Geezer Grand Hotel. In 1997, apparitions began to be reported at the hotel, not coincidentally during the renovation. These entities started to show themselves to the living. Perhaps it was out of the need to be recognized after such a long time, or maybe it was just the show to show their appreciation of the restoration.
Restoration.
One construction worker was even joined in the hotel elevator by several spectral guests. So, yeah, this place is highly active from the sounds of
it. It's pretty wild, yeah. I mean, it was a pretty swanky place back in its day. A lot of highfalutin, let's say it that way, people were there. It says the hotel was built in an Italianate Victorian architecture style designed by architect John Benes, and is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, big shocker, as a contributing property within the Baker Historic District. Originally named Hotel, this is so much easier to say, Worcestershire, for hotel property or proprietor Lewis F. Cook. The hotel opened in November of 1889, according to Oregon Encyclopedia. Benes made modifications to the hotel and didn't arrive in Baker until 1900. An original postcard of the hotel states that the hotel was built and owned by the Baker brothers. According to the Oregonian newspaper, Mr. Geezer bought the hotel. You pick your poison. Bought the hotel in 1900 and in 1901. Planned another story, which obviously was not built. A reconstructed interior and the installation of all the latest conveniences and appliances. The hotel was renamed and reopened on January 1, 1902, with the name Geezer Grand Hotel. Information on what modification Benes made has not been found. All sources give Benes complete credit for the building. It says a 1906 story in the Reading Eagle titled Baker City Has No Poor gave an account with the hotel as a setting, with the story concluding that Baker City was the most fortunate place in the country. It says in 1959, a clerk helped apprehend a pair of robbers at the hotel by complaining of arthritis and getting the robbers to tie her up loosely and then freeing herself to call the police as they left. That sounds really strange and convoluted. Hmm. Country music singer Presley Wayne Sprite gave his last performance at the hotel the night before he died in 1997. Based on various reported sightings, which you've mentioned a few already, the hotel is haunted. Benes is believed to have come from the Bohemian stock, although he may have been born in Peru, Illinois. Who knew there was a Peru, Illinois? And came to Baker City from Chicago around 1900 and designed several other buildings in the area before moving to Portland. So it's got quite a little history going on there.
Mm-hmm. A lot going on. Here's some entities of the Geezer Grand Hotel. Let's see here. A young female spirit is reported to be seen in the hotel's basement as well as up on the third floor. She is said to travel all over the hotel, but no one is quite sure who she is. Let's see here. Another female ghost is spotted wandering the halls of the hotel in a purple dress, said to be from the 1930s. She's well known for her outgoing and friendly demeanor. Here's the chef's story. The former chef who tragically lost his head is also reported at the Geezer Grand. He appears of occasion dressed as a chef, but with no visible head. That's gruesome. He's one of the less friendly spirits of the hotel. I'm sure he was very unhappy about what happened. And is known to slam doors as well as throw pots and pans. Some believe that he is still angry about his death.
I'm either having deja vu. Didn't we talk about some other ghost that sometimes had its head and sometimes didn't? And we were joked about like it's like hat or no hat, you know?
Yeah, possibly.
Is it what is going on with the ghost with head or no head? This is a beautiful chandelier.
Oh, yeah.
It is a beautiful place. Yeah, it really is. This says, back in its early days, the Geyser Grand was the place to go for social events and fine dining. It was called the Queen of Mines, and wealthy residents of Baker City and their guests partied here every weekend. Some of these folks from the early 20th century may have never left the hotel. There are several stories of hauntings. One of the Geyser Grand's most famous ghosts is known as Granny Annabelle. You didn't talk about that one, did you?
No, not yet.
Granny Annabelle. Okay. Oh, you're going to. Granny Annabelle was one of the hotel's owners. She lived in room 302 and spent many evenings entertaining guests in the bar with her stories. What kind of stories did she have? Did she have ghost stories? Many modern guests have seen her, too. They report seeing a beautiful woman in a blue gown descending the stairway. As she reaches the bottom, she disappears right into the wall. Room 302 is located in the hotel's cupola. What's a cupola?
Coppola.
I don't know. It says Coppola. Hmm. It says like Francis Ford.
I don't know.
Coppola.
Yeah, that says she makes her presence known by knocking on walls and even appearing to guests.
She's the woman in blue. Lady in blue. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the jumping back to the chef real quick. One account of him was his ghost was blamed for a floating crate of glasses that levitated through the air and later came crashing down onto the floor. The event was witnessed by the living chef at the hotel.
Hmm.
So yeah, that'd be interesting, seeing a crate of glasses floating around.
Right? Yeah, no kidding. When am I going to crash it?
Another one is an unknown male entity that roams around the hotel. Some say this is a ghost of a cowboy.
Cowboy, yes. Yeah. I was hoping you'd get to that one.
Who was shot at the Geyser Grand during its early days. He did get justice for his death as the murderer was caught, tried, and convicted, which later led to the very first murder conviction in Baker City.
Yep, that's right. That Granny Annabelle says... guest report, items are often moved from one place to another. Granny Annabelle is kind of blamed for doing that. Maybe it's a cowboy, actually. She doesn't seem to be a dark presence. She's more mischievous than threatening. This says the other ghosts include a young girl, a former saloon dancer, and a cowboy. I like that. It says, while most of the ghosts seem to be harmless, they often wake guests up in the middle of the night with their wanderings. The hotel hosts an annual ghost hunt every October. Join Big River Paranormal on October 3rd to hear stories about the ghosts. I wonder if that's every October 3rd or maybe just this one. Mm-hmm. Or whenever this article is written. Let's find out. About the ghosts and even witnesses seeing paranormal activity firsthand. Has a Facebook page. Has a website. All the fixins. When was this written? This says July 31st, 2024 is when this is published. So, this will be this October apparently.
Oh, sweet.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I guess Granny.
No, I'm wrong. No, wait, that's weird. This says September 20th, 2020. Anyway, apparently in October though, they do have ghosts.
I guess, Granny.
Ghost hunt gatherings.
She, had a reserved chair downstairs at the bar and for a period of time. After she died, anyone that dared sit in her spot was pinched by cold fingers.
Awesome.
Since the bar reopened, she has mellowed a bit and doesn't do this anymore. Or perhaps there is no chair placed where she used to sit. Then the balcony above the Palm Court dining room is also a hot spot for haunts, and a few flapper women of the 1920s have been reported people watching from the second floor banister. Do you have anything on room 203?
I had 302.
302.
There's a 203.
203.
One of the world's in 203.
Room 203 is another haunted hotspot. And most of the hauntings of this room are auditory. Loud music, disembodied voices, and laughter, as well as unexplained bangs, are heard coming from an otherwise empty room, 203.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't think I saw that one. Mm-mm. That is interesting. So I'm trying to figure out what this cupola thing is. We're going to have to look up cupola. Because it had the state-of-the-art third elevator and all that stuff. It says the four-story clock tower gave the area an air of sophistication, while the 200-foot cupola gave the building more natural lighting that filtered through a stained glass ceiling.
So I wonder if it's like sort of like a courtyardish type thing with a glass roof.
Must be. Subterranean windows that open up into an underground tunnel. Those were created in the 1880s. That was the time of the gold frenzy, and the tunnels led to brothels. Woo! So that's got to be some fun down there, some ghostly brothel fun. Mm-hmm. It says they also gave passage to Chinese immigrants who at the time were not allowed to be on the streets at night. They were handy during seasons of heavy snow, as well as stashing booze during the Prohibition years. And, of course, that is not uncommon. It is a landmark and site of incredible paranormal activity. This goes through some of the ones that we've already talked about, but a couple other ones. Have been reports of apparitions on many occasions. The hotel staff gives a lot of ghost stories, especially around the spooky season or Halloween. Hotel's most famous ghosts go by the name of Lady in Blue, who has been seen dressed in a turn-of-the-century gown, walking up and down the main staircase. It is speculated that she is... this beautiful lady in blue is actually Granny Annabelle, who we just talked about. I didn't realize that. In her beautiful Victorian gown, where she forever ascends and descends the staircase before disappearing into the wall. Apparently, she never had any intention of leaving the most famous place in the country. Hotel was built. Da, 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 da. Oh, there was. Let's see. What was the one?
I like this place.
Gosh, I do too. I swear I saw like a. But there was a lady in purple. Where was that at?
I didn't really see anything in purple. Yeah. If I was ever
oh, out, here it is. I found it.
Did you find it? Okay.
I think so. There have been several reports of a young girl. Yeah, we talked about some of these. Hold on. Oh, yeah. The hotel was built.
Oh, yeah. Purple dress.
Yeah.
I said that earlier.
I swear I saw that.
Yep.
Oh, did you say? Okay.
Yeah,
the hotel was built in 1889, destined to be extravagant living quarters for mine investors, wealthy people. Hosted several apparitions on the premises. There have been several reports of a young girl, 1930s woman wearing a purple dress, saloon dancer from the 1920s, former chef, which you talked about, the headless one, cowboy, and his girlfriend, as well as a lady in blue. One of the former owners, Mabel Geyser, lived in 302, which we already talked about. Mm-hmm. Incredibly haunted, with her ghost rearranging the guest jewelry. This one we didn't talk about, though. She's eating their, if they have complimentary snacks, she tends to eat them.
Oh.
So that's kind of wild. It says the current owner jokes that while the beds may be comfortable, you should expect to be woken up at least three times a night because of the apparitions. So wow.
That's pretty wild. Super active.
Yeah, and it looked... Like from there, there's a lot of, paranormal investigations and people have gone through and the Atlantic Paranormal Society, which TAPS, they visited here. So, there's a lot of people that have seen things, heard things, felt things. They said they've reported dark masses floating by their beds. Most of the stuff doesn't sound very dark, but I'm sure with all the different things, there's in that kind of a place that has that much history, there's probably going to be some kind of, darkness that's happened. Mm-hmm. But all in all, it seems pretty light.
Yep. No, I definitely would love to visit this place. This is a good one. Good job, Todd.
Yay, Todd. Good job.
Alrighty. Well, I can't really find any more on this one.
Oh, this is what that was. Okay, so let me read this real quick and then we can end on it. Okay. Oregon resident Amy Venezia travels the country as a professional medium and communicates with spirits regularly. She stayed at the Geyser Grand one Christmas Eve where she reported experiencing a dark mass floating by her bed. Recounting her story, she felt it was an incredibly frightening experience. This is her retelling of it. I'm very accustomed to spirits and not scared of much, but this was a very old, strong spirit, a different type of entity, not a typical connection. I was frightened. The spirit was like a big dog that doesn't know its size when it pounces on you. It was too much for me then. With time, though, I see it's taken me to a deeper level, and that is good. There's no doubt that hotel is haunted. Professional medium, right?
Wow.
Amy Venezia. Mm-hmm. That's cool, though. I like that. That's probably a good way to end, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a good place. We're definitely going however long it takes. One last thing. Let me do this real quick here. Yep, that's what it is. So a cupola, I have to do this. I have to, this is what a cupola is. In architecture, a cupola is a relatively small, usually dome-like structure on top of a building, often crowning a larger roof or dome. Cupolas often serve as a roof lantern to admit light and air as a lookout.
Okay.
Look at that. Yeah. So I know what it is. I just never knew what it was called. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Derives from Latin. Cupola. So anyway, probably more stuff than you needed, but whatever. Cupola.
Education. It's not a bad thing.
That's right. That's a good thing, right? All right. What do you got for us? Take us out of this, Nate.
Don't be like the chef and lose your head, but that's a wrap.
Keep your head on straight, is that what we're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, Nate. I appreciate that. And we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to Middle-Aged Mini 168 and our spooky discussion on the Geyser Grand Hotel. Until next time, we'll talk to you later.
See ya.